This is Guy Bogart and our cats playing about the KFOX microphone, and right here at the start we draw from our own circle for a bit of poetry. Mrs. Ida B. Hall of Hollywood, whose little white kitten we heard 2 weeks ago, has written another poem from an experience common to many of us. Let's hear her. Little Gray Alley Cat. Cold and hungry and mewing with pain, I found you shivering in the rain where someone, daring, heartless, and bold, had thrown you out into the cold. I cuddled you within my arm and carried you home away from harm, my little gray alley cat. In days that came and days that went, many happy hours we spent. You bit my fingers and nibbled my toes, made runs with my brand new hose. You rolled my spools across the floors, played hide-and-seek behind the doors, my little gray alley cat. Though growing up, as all pets will, you are my constant shadow still. At night, you creep into my lap to take a little snoozy nap, and as I gently smooth your fur, I hear your happy purr, my little gray alley cat. I've loved Angoras and Siamese, blue-eyed Persians and chic Burmese, but my little pet I would not trade for any other of higher grade, for the little pal that I love best and cherish more than all the rest is my little gray alley cat. It's by Ida B. Hall of Hollywood. Skunks are always in the news, and although in no way related to the cat family, it is natural to associate them with felines in our mind. Several times a year, we expect to see press photographs of orphan skunk babies nursing a mother cat. Somewhere last year at the cat show in Los Angeles, I read that under their title of polecats, they were to be admitted to some cat show as a class, and I'm sure they'd be a class all to themselves. Incidentally, I think it was the same cat show that was to offer a prize for the ocelot. Well, of course, the latter is of the cat family and fairly familiar as a household pet. Several stories came out in the news during 1953 of pet skunks. They're becoming quite popular in Southern California, all properly deodorized. One I recall was the William D. Hall family in Manhattan Beach, where nearly a score made admirable pets. Oh, yes, I believe it was the Hall family who were invited to enter their pets in the cat show. The skunk, as you know, belongs to the weasel family of the genus Mephitis. Several species are scattered pretty well over the nation. Back in the Middle West, a lot of you will remember ours was Mephitis mephitica. I recall getting hold of the first Indiana Natural History Report for 1867, given to me by Captain John Burkhart of Brookville. Dr. Heyman of the same town had an article on a skunk, and after 50 years, I recall a sentence from the article, "The young make nice pets if they are not kept too long." I guess the household pets are operated on for that, or so I've been told. Weasel family or not, the popular mind will call them polecats and think of them as felines. In one of the copies of Life is another little desert animal pictured, the ring-tailed cat. Don't need to burden your memory, but scientists like Dr. Ida M. Mellon would tell you that he is Bassariscus astutus. If you are like me, you will be content to remember that the ring-tailed cat is not a cat, but is related to the raccoon. But why not have them in the shows? With the ocelot being really the cat family and growing more popular, no reason why they should not grace our shows also. I've long used the expressions like fur babies and purr babies. Miss Hetty Gray Baker, whose cat books have been printed both in this country and in England, and who in her latest book has given recognition of KFOX's friendship for cats, gave a variation in one of her letters, Fur Faces. Folks are always wondering about food for cats. I liked the general common sense of Mrs. Ouida B. Blacknall in her Road to St. Ives, published at 275 by the Naylor Company of San Antonio, Texas, which I reviewed recently. Her words are from 20 years of practical experience, and I pass along another of her suggestions. Quote, "What shall I feed the cat?" is answered more fully in my "What I shall not feed," and here is a list of don'ts. Any chilled foods, salt and pepper, small bones, pork, candy, pie, ice cream, greasy foods, spices, cornbread, potatoes, raw milk, to kittens, raw milk and milk at the same meal, raw meat on a hot midday. A Persian cat with running fits is our reason for this last don't. What to feed is already well covered by many excellent books on the care of pets. But added to these feeding instructions are the following items, startling as they may sound. Lettuce, tomatoes, cooked carrots, English peas, green peas, asparagus, squash, cantaloupe, boiled cabbage, crunchy cereals, cooked oatmeal. These foods, plus meat, have been used for years with our cats, and since they seldom have any digestive disorders, it seems a fairly safe diet. In hot weather, feeding raw meat may produce a skin rash. We noticed that our black Persians in particular were allergic to all rich foods during the summer. For hot days, the recipe below is a wholesome and economical mixture which will make about 12 portions. 1 cup of rice, 1 to 2 cups of cold water, 1 number 2 can of tomatoes, 1 chopped onion or 2 large garlic buttons, 1 pound of frozen horse meat. I'll read that again. You may want to jot that down. 1 cup of rice, 1 to 2 cups of cold water, 1 number 2 can of tomatoes, 1 chopped onion or 2 large garlic buttons, 1 pound of frozen horse meat. Thaw the meat, mix all ingredients, and simmer about 30 minutes. Stir frequently. In winter, cook all except the horse meat, then mix the raw meat in last. In the diet of convalescent animals, raw white egg is highly recommended, especially after a siege of enteritis. A problem we had was a cat's refusal to eat the eggs. Then if we force-fed it, back it came. We have better luck using plain, unflavored gelatin, a protein food. Dissolve 1 teaspoon of gelatin in a serving of meat broth with no salt and no grease, unquote. Mrs. Bertha S. Whiting of Newton Center, Massachusetts, has been kind to this broadcast by furnishing verse and clippings. She sends a newspaper story showing another of those extra-sized cats. This one is Pretty Girl, the 4-year-old pet of Mr. and Mrs. Warren Ross of Squantum, Massachusetts. She weighs 50 pounds and measures 36 inches from the nose to the tip of the tail. She is white, marked with brown and black spots. Cantaloupe is one of her favorite delicacies, along with vegetables and eggs. On cold winter mornings, she likes a bowl of hot cereal, according to the reporter. Sue Riley, the reporter. Pretty Girl sticks pretty close to the home base and loves to be petted by her folks, but is not too friendly with anybody else. Mrs. Whiting occasionally sends the column of the Boston Sunday Herald, written by E.E. Whiting, whose main hobby is apples with a great love for cats. He is not related to Mrs. Bertha S. Whiting. I'm partial to anyone who likes apples, cats, and folks like E.E. Whiting. He has to satisfy the funny folks who thinks cats are a serious menace to birds, but doesn't back down on his love for Tabby. Once he wrote, quote, "Mr. Bogart of California tells you that cats don't eat birds. It is never any trouble to teach the cat to live in harmony with birds," says he to you. "Bogart is a cat's attorney," unquote. Well, I have not said that cats do not catch birds, merely that the cat is not a serious enemy to birds. But I plead guilty to being, as Mr. Whiting says, the cat's attorney. Speaking of cats and birds, I noticed a year or so ago in our Dumb Animals, also of Boston, a letter sent to the editor by Bessie H. Freethy, quote, "I do not understand how humans who feast on roast turkey and chicken have the nerve to hate cats for eating birds. People like birds to eat, so do cats. It is their natural food. How can they be hated when we eat birds too? Unquote. And I might add that cats do not go out in automobiles and kill thousands of birds they don't even want to eat in the name of something called sport, and to whom desert highway signs and any moving bit of life are targets for criminal assault, like the so-called sportsman who herded half-tame burros into canyons and shot them down while they stood there. The cat catches really a small proportion of food, but those he does catch are for food. But to return to Mr. Whiting, in another of his frequent columns praising cats, he states, quote, "Some time ago I wrote, I think appreciatively, of the interest taken in cats by Guy Bogart of Beaumont, California, a remarkable man who takes interest in a great many things, including apples, poetry, and all literature, and of the November Cat Week he publicizes in his home state," unquote. We are not quite together on the value of the cat in rodent control and the importance of this to the comfort and economic balance of society. But I do agree that the main reason the cat is adored is for beauty and loving companionship. Here is more from our appreciative Boston columnist. Quote, "The cat value, as I see it, is in less materialistic spheres than in mousing. No admirer of cats for their virtues ever beat a path to the door of a cat and discovered a better way of catching mice, whether in the wilderness or elsewhere. However, it has been my observation that mice tend to shun the house where there is a cat. It is a minor point. Personally, I like birds, and I like cats, and I like dogs, some dogs. I like people, some people. We like this and that, but in various ways. To those who know cats, cats add a sense of comfort, beauty, companionship, and restfulness to a house. Cats are not for utilities. I long ago reached the conclusion that the virtues of the cat far outweigh his faults, and the cat is very close to us humans. In good weather and in bad, he remains by our side. He does not migrate, nor hibernate, nor bury himself in the hollow tree or a burrow in a cave. He is essentially a part of human home life, and he teaches us lessons in looking on life from the vantage point of the philosopher. And there is this about cats which attests their strong personality as a species. There are some men and women to whom their presence works a curious and ineradicable antipathy. Maybe something psychic? I have a close friend whose nerves rasp and whose whole being cringes when a cat is in the same room with him. It is not just dislike, it is akin to panic and horror, which indeed is a tribute to the power of the cats, a compliment to him, though left-handed," unquote. Yes, ailurophobia, while not too common, is a real abnormality, not to be confused with people who simply dislike cats, or with whom those who are allergic to cat and dog hairs. The cat lover has no apologies for his adoration. This is Guy Bogart with love and joy to cats and folks and life with happy purrs.